to all sorts of political news coming out of Lansing and Detroit, from the political fate of a longtime Michigan congressman to a political move by a top Republican to derail a ballot proposal that would boost Michigan's minimum wage, and news on that perennial Michigan topic, repairing our potholed, crumbling roads. So much political news that Michigan Radio's It's Just Politics hosts are here, Rick Pluta and Zoe Clark. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Hello.
So let us begin with the latest on Detroit Congressman John Conyers and what should have been a no-brainer for someone who was first elected to Congress in 1965, which is getting enough signatures on his ballot petition. Zoe, what's the latest?
Hello.
Hello.
So let us begin with the latest on Detroit Congressman John Conyers and what should have been a no-brainer for someone who was first elected to Congress in 1965, which is getting enough signatures on his ballot petition. Zoe, what's the latest?
The latest is it appears like longtime Congressman John Conyers may not make it on the ballot. We heard late last week the clerk saying he does not have enough signatures. This is how it works. April 22nd, there was a deadline that said if you want to run for Congress, you need to collect at least 1,000 legal valid signatures of voters saying, yes, we want you to run. The congressman did turn in those signatures. The issue was whether they were valid, whether they were legal. It turns out two folks who were out trying to get those signatures actually were not registered voters themselves.
Or appear to not be registered.
This
right.
is still sort of the sticky situation
Conyers
whether they
legal
were
team
or weren't.
Is contesting that.
And as Rick mentions, legal teams contesting this now. This will also continue to be contested sort of at every level.
What's supposed to happen next is that the Wayne County clerk will make her official determination, and we expect it will be that he's roughly 400 signatures short. And then, they could then take it to the Michigan Secretary of State, and then after that to the courts. And the strategy is really just it's a very mundane review of every single signature to try and resurrect enough of them to get Conyers over that 1,000 legal signature line so that he can appear on the ballot. But that doesn't mean that they're not already trying to figure out what a plan B might be.
And we've heard the talk write-in campaign. Rick, how successful do you think a write-in campaign could be for John Conyers?
Well, John Conyers certainly has the name ID to pull off something like a write-in campaign. The question is whether or not someone who was unable to pull together the infrastructure to get the proper number of petition mm-hmm. signatures to get on the ballot, whether or not he'd be capable or the people around him would be capable of putting together a campaign to get enough people to write in his name.
Exactly.
We saw from Mike Duggan that it can be done.
We
just don't know if John Conyers is capable of doing it. And, you know, even if he doesn't, he could then conceivably be nominated by a third party in order to get on the November ballot.
But has the prospect that this 24-term congressman might not be on the November ballot, has this gotten people thinking about other candidates? Is anyone going, hey, look at me?
Well, actually, it's gotten candidates sort of banging their head against the wall saying, why didn't I think of because of this April 22nd deadline? In fact, there were quite a few people looking at that race, but this is an issue that the congressman, longtime congressman, people out of respect for many different reasons felt like they weren't ready to challenge him. There is one challenger, Horace Sheffield.
Well, there are also a lot of people who just didn't – basically, the wherewithal wasn't there because, Detroit just went through a big, brutal, expensive mayoral mm-hmm. campaign, and just everyone's kind of tapped. And so there was sort of this sense of he'll serve out another 2 years and then, and then we'll see what happens. And it was a chance for Conyers to have his victory lap, that he was going to become the dean of the House when John Dingell retired.
Well, next up, we look at the ballot proposal that would raise the state minimum wage to $10.10 an hour by 2017 and then index it to inflation thereafter. Rick, tell us what Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville is proposing.
Well, he came up with kind of a crafty little maneuver that the law that would be changed by this initiative, amended by this citizen initiative, he introduced a bill to repeal it and basically take what is substantially the same, existing minimum wage law and just bring it back as a new public act And the idea is that just maybe that would preempt this ballot drive, make it all null and void because the law that they're trying to change is no longer there. Now, there is still a lot of questions, though, as to whether that even works and whether or not it can forestall a petition drive getting a question on the ballot.
Well, Zoe, okay, tell me if I'm seeing this wrong. Citizen Group is out gathering voter signatures on a ballot proposal that would let us as voters vote yes or no on whether to raise the minimum wage. And Senator Richardville has decided he would rather short circuit that process, basically cut the legs out from under this voter initiated proposal and perhaps produce an outcome more that business would be happier with?
Absolutely. I mean, that is what's going on. Another issue that's going on is I think Republicans and the GOP looked at this ballot, had it, and maybe it still will go on the ballot come November, looked at it and saw it has a really, really high approval rating. This idea of increasing the state's minimum wage to $10.10 has a lot of popular support, which would then most likely boost voter turnout come November. Democrats have a voter turnout issue in midterm elections when a president is not at the top of the ballot. Republicans turn out, Democrats don't. This was a hope among Democrats to get their base out and vote. So not only is this an issue about increasing the minimum wage, it becomes an issue that if this is suddenly a moot point on the ballot, are you not going to see as many Democrats, as many progressives out and voting? So it's sort of two birds with one stone, you know, by the GOP.
And now to our not so beloved roads and highways in Michigan. Rick, what's the latest on getting funding for road repairs?
Well, we had a package that cleared the State House last week, and it was bipartisan, although not universally embraced. But really now it moves over to the Senate, where the heavy lifting is going to take place, that Randy Richardville, who we were just talking about, mm-hmm. has said that the Senate will go and come up with the almost $1 billion additional dollars that's needed to meet Governor Snyder's road funding target of $1.2 billion a year. And so they're busy trying to craft a revenue package that they can get Republicans behind and they can get Democrats behind. And it's a, you know, it's a big complicated matter that they're hoping to get done either before or at least no later than early June.
So that State House legislation was just about $450 million, Zoe. So it seems like lawmakers in the House shouldn't be patting themselves on the back for passing this legislation since it is so far short of what is needed.
It's very far short of what Governor Snyder has said, mm-hmm. that he wants this $1.2 billion annually. Mm-hmm. And this is the amount that Jace Bolger, the Republican Speaker of the House, came up with, got it passed, as we saw, very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. Once he sort of put his foot behind what he wanted to happen, it happened.
It happened.
I think you're exactly right. And you've got Democrats going, hey, why should we, you know, even be for this when it's not going to put what we think is enough money? Why should we be for this sort of what they think is not a permanent, absolutely best solution, and will then sort of make voters think, well, we did something, and then the idea of getting that $1.2 billion suddenly becomes less important because, oh, we put half a billion in.
Potentially take the pressure off. The political game, while very complex, can probably be boiled down to this, which is you've got to get enough Republicans, especially in the Senate, where some of them are facing primary challenges, to support some type of what is essentially a tax hike mm-hmm. in order to come up with more revenue for roads. And you've got to convince Democrats to help them make up whatever gap they might have because of that. And the Democrats are going to be concerned that Republicans will use a tax hike against them in a general election. So that's the political equation that you've got to fill in the numbers.
It's something very interesting that Rick and I have talked often about, that usually going into an election year, particularly the summer before an election mm-hmm. year, lawmakers want to go and campaign on tax cuts and how we're saving you money. And here we're going into the summer before an election where we're talking about increasing transportation funding. And let's also remember, tomorrow we're going to be talking a lot about this Detroit settlement money yeah. from Lansing going to Detroit. Right. So it's this interesting dynamic. Usually around this time we hear cuts and we're giving you money back. And mm-hmm. now it's, hey, state putting out some bucks.
But interestingly,
and not only that, it's kind of funny that we're not hearing just that, but there are certainly some Republicans who still want to, you know, go back to their districts and campaign on delivering a tax cut. But there's some who are being told, don't come back with a modest tax cut if you have not fixed my roads, that lawmakers could be punished for cutting taxes if they don't deal with the road problem.
Well, in fact, I was thinking of the fact we talked with the folks from the Center for Michigan when they took their voter initiative. They sat down with so many Michigan voters all around the state who said, go ahead, I'll pay more for better roads. Yeah. I don't care. I don't want to hear about tax cuts. Exactly.
Exactly. And but, so I think this is actually a consequence of that enough people got in touch with their lawmakers. And, hey, enough lawmakers drove on the roads themselves and realized how bad things were. You know, after years and years of cuts, I think we're starting to see whether or not it's a big push for tax revenue or anything like that. After years and years of cuts, we are starting to see some money being put back into some basic infrastructure.
Carpe diem. Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta, hosts of It's Just Politics, right here on Michigan Radio. As always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy.
You betcha.